Okay, so today is the first shiur on the topic of Mei Peiros and Mei Shlakos, which is a general introduction. Basically, the shiur is going to be about, like the status of juices, right? When you have a juice coming out of a vegetable or a fruit, the big question is going to be, what is the status of that juice, L'inyan Hilchos Brachos, right? Does that juice retain the same bracha as the guf, either of the pre or the vegetable that it emanated from, that it came from, or does it have an independent status, L'inyan Brachos? So if you didn't see any Gemaras, you would assume that you would treat the juices of all types of, you know, fruits and vegetables the same, right? It's one question, it's one issue. Are juices treated as if the original fruit or vegetable, or is it treated as independent? So again, right, if you would just intuitively just think about this question, you would assume that everyone, that all juices would have the same status. But we're going to see, we're going to start out the sugya by showing that if you look at the various gemaros, which deal with what is the appropriate bracha for different juices, we're going to see that different juices are treated differently. And basically what's going to be, you know, our job over the sugya is to try to figure out why is it that different juices had different statuses, le'inyan hilchos brachos. So starting off with the Gemara on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, which deals with the category of juices called Mei Peiros, right? Juices coming out of Peiros. Let's start off. Aaron, would you mind taking it away? Sees Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, but Amar Mar Baravashi. So far, the Gemara is dealing with the case of dvash, of honey, coming out of dates. You make a shahako. It's my time, huh? What's the reason?
It's just
liquid ba'al, right? Zeya ba'al. That's going to be a key line, a key concept we're going to have to get back to. But the Gemara, again, at this point, seems to say that the dvash of tamarim would basically get a shahako. They lose the original ha'itz of the original tamarim. Because of this factor of Zeya Ba'alma, they're just liquid. A couple more lines.
Come on, who's this one?
Because if you stop here, you might think that maybe this psak of Shahakol is limited to the case of Dufsha Tatamri, of Dvash Tamar. We're going to see from the Hamshik, we're going to see from the continuation, based on the Gemara's Raya, that we're going to see that this psak of Shahakol for Dvash Tamarim really applies to all Mei Peiros. Let's see from here.
So
it's a key. So even when we get to the Psakim, right? This Mishnah groups Dvash Tamarim alongside all other types of fruit juices. And then the last example, Shar Mei Peiros, is clearly saying that the following Psak is not limited to the case of Dvash Tamarim. It applies to all Mei Peiros. So what's the machlokes? Rabbi Eliezer treats these juices as if it's the original Inyan Truma, but we Paskin, right, like Rabbi Yeshua, who says Poter, basically says that the Mei Peiros are treated as a different entity than the original Pri, and therefore the Din Truma, which applies to the original Pri, does not carry over to the Mei Peiros, and therefore a person who eats a Bishogeg is Poter from paying the Chomesh. But the reason why we read a couple of extra lines is because it's clear from the Gemara's Raya, the fact that when the Gemara aligns the original Psak of Mar Baravashi with Rabbi Yeshua, it's clear that this Psak of Shahakol extends to all Mei Peiros. So if you stop here, you would say, okay. So all juices coming out of items have the status of Shahakol. They lose the status of the original item that they come from. They lose the status of the Pri. They have their own status, and therefore they get a Shahakol. And therefore you would extend, this would apply to all juices. But if you move on to Lama Tesla Manalef, where the Gemara discusses not Mei Peiros, but rather Mei Shlakos. Natano, would you mind reading Amar Papa toward the bottom of Lama Tesla Manalef? This is where the Gemara discusses the issue, not again of fruit juices, but of vegetable juice.
Amar Papa, Pritoli, Maya de Silka to Silka, Maya de Lafta Kalafta, Maya de Kulu Shalki to Kulu Shalki. The juice coming out of any of these different types of vegetables is the same status as these vegetables.
Exactly. So the big sounds like a steerer right off the bat, right? And in clear contrast to Mei Peiros, which Lamed Ches Amud Aleph clearly establishes, have a different status than the original Pri, and therefore Shahakol. The Gemara takes for granted here that when it comes to mei shlakos, that the juices coming out of vegetables retain the bracha of the original vegetable, and therefore have a bracha of borei pri ha'adam. So the Gemara just takes this for granted as if it's a pshita, as if it's pashit. But the Gemara, all the Rishonim are going to be bothered by, we're going to get to this, you know, in future shirim, it's not so pashit at all. Right? Why doesn't the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma, which the Gemara associates with mei peros on lamechas amin alef, why doesn't that extend to mei shlakos on lamechas amin alef? Yeah.
Case on
lamechas amin
alef, you're taking the juice out of the fruit itself, or you're putting them in water.
One more time.
Mei peros. You're taking the lamechas amin alef. Case there is you're juicing the fruits.
I mean the vegetables?
The vegetables, sorry. Or you're putting them
Okay. So we're gonna see a machlokas Rishonim in terms of what exactly the case is. But just when you're looking at the pashpshah of the Gemara, it sounds like it's just like in mei peros, just like it was the juice of the fruit. Here too, it sounds like it's just the juice coming out of the vegetables. That's the pashpshah. But we're gonna see Rishonim, some Rishonim are gonna be mukim the case. It says Tafshel Shel Trotin. It's a little ambiguous in terms of what exactly. Lamentas. So we'll see. When Rishonim are trying to be mechalik between Lamed Ches and Lamentas, some of the Chilukim are based on there being different cases. But we're just now surveying the different Gemaras. Pashpshah and the Gemara, they're both the juice of the item. Some reason the juice of fruit have shahakol, while the juice of vegetables retain the original borei pri hadama. But if you stop here, it sounds like, okay, all mei peros are treated as different, shahakol, all mei shlakos are treated as the same as borei pri hadama. We're going to see that there's an exception even within mei peros. There are two types of fruit juices which aren't knocked down to a shahakol.
Where do we see that mei peros are all
lamed ches amin alef, the Gemara we just read.
That's talking about
Yes, that's what he pointed out in the Hemshech, when the Gemara aligns the Shita Mar Barav Ashi with Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yeshua is clearly talking about all mei peros.
Isn't this case specifically about Dvash?
What the Gemara is clearly saying, this psak by Dvash is the same as Rabbi Yeshua's psak by all mei peros. Right? You're right, so 100%. Just based on Mar Barav Ashi, you could have limited it to the case of Dvash Tamar. When the Gemara aligns Mar Barav Ashi with Rabbi Yeshua by all mei peros, it's very clear that it extends. Oh. So what are the two types of mei peros, which are exceptions, aren't subject to the general din of mei peros of shahakol?
Wine
and
oil.
Exactly. So let's see those Gemaras very quickly. So we're going to see that not only does there seem to be a stira between mei peros and mei shlakos, there seems to be even exceptions within mei peros. Exactly like you said, both shemen and yayin. So starting with shemen, the Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Aleph is an important Gemara. The Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Aleph starts off actually in the context of Kimcha Dechiti, talking about someone who eats the flour of wheat flour, basically. And then Agav discussing the machlokes about wheat flour and brings in our, what's not get to us, which is drinking shemen. Avram, would you mind? Kimcha Dechiti?
Kimcha Dechiti. Maybe you don't wear Borei Pri Hadama or Chemi Omer Shakoni Abirah.
So the machlok is, but Kimcha Dechiti, whether it retains, right? We know that if you eat the kernel itself, it's Borei Pri Hadama. So the question is, when you pulverize the kernel into flour, does it lose its Borei Pri Hadama or not? So the machlok is, Rav Yehuda says it retains it. Rav Nachman says, no, it gets knocked down to a shahakol.
I'm only Rav Nachman, lo tifla gala de Rav Yehuda. Don't argue Rav Yehuda, don't argue to Rav Yochanan Shmuel, when Kai make a vase. Don't Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel, the Kain Amar, Rav Yitzhak, Rav Yochanan, Shem and Zayas, Rav Yochanan, Halav, Bopri Eitz. Right, so you make Bopri Eitz on Shem and Zayas.
Right, so the Gemara is, right, Gemara is saying, oh, that seems to be like Rav Yehuda's Psaq by Kimcha Tuchiti, Gemara's
yeah. Okay.
Even
though it changed, it's still better than the same.
Exactly. So you see from shemen zayis, you see from olive oil, that even though it underwent a shinoi, it changed, it still retains its original bracha of borei pri hayetz. So hachanami, the Gemara suggests. So too by Kimcha Dechiti, even though it underwent a shinoi from the kernel to the flower, it still should retain its original borei pri hadama like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara has a very important chiluk.
Yeah, there's a writer.
Midami.
Hasam leisa ilva achmina. Hacha leisa ilva achmina. So,
they're like hasam by shemen.
Yeah. So it's so it doesn't have like an extra like a. Like a stage, sort of like another.
Right, there's no better. There is no iluya. There's no better stage. Meaning that shemen zayas is the ideal form of the shemen.
But then by the weak case, so obviously the past. So
it's, exactly, you know, since, right. Exactly. Since it's not currently in its an ideal form, separate subject to a shinoi. So we'll get back to the deals in just a moment. Okay. But it's clear for just trying to map out the different or the different psakim. So it's very clear from this Gemara that, and the member of Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, that Shemen Zayas, that in contrast to Stam Me Peros, which get knocked down to a Shahagol, Shemen retains its Ha'etz. And we'll get back to the details of the Shinoi in just a moment. In addition to Shemen, which retains its Ha'etz, you also have Yayin, right? This comes back to the original Mishnah in the Perek, Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. Gadi, would you mind just reading the first line in the Mishnah?
Pizza Levarchim Al Peros.
So when it comes to Yayin, not only does Yayin not get knocked down from Bori Pri Ha'etz to Shahako like other Meperos, it also gets in a way upgraded to its own unique bracha of Bori Pri Hagafen. Awesome. So then it's just to transition to the Gemara Lamed Hei on the Beis, where the Gemara, that was the Mishnah, which just clearly sets forth the psak that wine gets its own bracha, as we know. But it's in a very important Shaka Vitaria, in terms of whether the Gemara Lamed Hei on the Beis, right, discusses why is it that Yayin gets its own bracha. Again, for our purposes, we're going to be more focused on not why Yayin gets its own unique bracha, Bori Pri Hagafen, but we're going to be focused more on why it doesn't lose and why it's different than Shar Mei Peros and why it doesn't get knocked down to a Shahakal. But Agav, this Shahakal Tari and Laman, hey, on Bez, we're going to get to an important point. Okay, Skavi, continue reading. So the Gemara says, Mai Shna Yayin.
Mai Shna Yayin, so why is Yayin different? He lame him, Shunda Ashtani Liluya, Ashtani Lubracha. If you say that because since it changed the nature of this.
Right, the Gemara is saying that any time something gets changed into a better form, it's new bracha. The Gemara says,
but oil, which also gets into a better form, doesn't change the bracha.
So we know there by Shemen Zayas that even though it's Ishni Luya gets changed into a better form, it doesn't lose. Granted, it doesn't lose its bracha, but doesn't get its own new bracha. So how do you justify, the Gemara asks, how do you justify Yayin getting its own new bracha? So again, the rest of the Shaka Vitaria, which I had you read, basically the maskana ends up being that the reason why Yayin gets its own unique bracha in contrast to Shemen is because why? Anyone remember what's the maskana? What? Exactly, Sa'id. Right? Because Yayin, in contrast to Shemen, has a full satiation. It provides a full level of satiation, not just Zayin, but Sa'id, which is a more substantive type of satiation. That's what makes it unique. But for our purposes, it's just important to note that just like the Gemara and Lamed Vav, in the context of Shemen Zayas, said the reason why Shemen Zayas isn't subject to the downgrading to Shahakol because of this idea of Ishtini Lu'uluya, so to the Gemara applies that same idea of Ishtini Lu'uluya in the context of Yai. Again, the Gemara was using it for a different context, trying to explain, maybe that's a reason to get its own bracha. The Gemara Lamaskana says that's not true. But for our purposes, we see that both Shemen and Yayin, right, are different than Shar Mei Peros. Shar Mei Peros are downgraded to Shahakal, but we know both Yayin and Shemen are different, and part of that difference is because the Ishtin Iluya, their change in form is a positive change, and therefore they don't get knocked down to a Shahakal. So basically, what we've seen from all this is basically we have a lot of conflicting evidence, right? And figure out how it works. Just to summarize, Stam Mei Peros knocked down to Shahakal, Stam Mei Shlakos retain the original Hadama, and then within Mei Peros you have the exception of Yayin and Shemen, which do not get knocked down to Shahakal. Shemen retains its Ha'etz, and Yayin even gets Hagafen. And the question now we have to figure out in this sugya is, how do we account for all these chilukim? Why is it that you have all these distinctions? Why don't we treat simply all juices the same? Either juices are different from the original item they're coming from, or they're the same? Why is it that some are treated as different and some are treated the same? So in order to really move forward in the sugya, what we have to do is try to figure out and try to identify and isolate what is the potential chisaron by juices. What is the potential chisaron which would potentially knock down the bracha from its original to a shahakal? And then once we are able to isolate that factor, then we're going to be able to explain why it applies in some cases and not in others. But if based on the Gemara's we just read, what is the factor, what is the potential chisaron which would potentially knock down a juice from its original to shahakal? What's the factor? What? What do you say?
Pri.
That it's not a pri?
Yeah.
Exactly. What's the Gemara's phrase for that?
Zeba
Alma. Right. The potential chisaron, which could be associated with potentially all juices, is this factor of Zeya Ba'am. Right? The Gemara, we know in Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, said that in the context of Mei Peros, right? And what we're going to do is try to figure out what is the nature, right, of this chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma. Why is it that this factor of Zeya Ba'alma knocks it down from being nechshav, and instead of the juice being nechshav like the original pri, it's rather knocked down to shakel. So once we're able to, you know, once we've isolated the Zeya Ba'alma, and once we understand the nature of this chisaron, we're then going to be able to understand why is it that it applies in certain cases and not in others. So again, if you just go back to the Gemara in Lamed Ches, where it says Zeya Ba'alma, you have Rashi on the spot. Right, Rashi on the spot, Dir Maskel Zeya Ba'alma, makes a comment. Let's get Elimelech. Would you mind just reading the Dir Maskel Zeya Ba'alma? See Rashi, Dir Maskel Zeya Ba'alma? So Rashi tells us is that Zeya Ba'alma dictates that the juice is not like the original pri, and therefore it loses the original bori pro'etz. But from Rashi itself, he only tells you sort of the result, the effect of this klal of Zeya Ba'alma, but doesn't tell you, right, the nature of the chisaron itself. All Rashi tells us, oh, Zeya Ba'alma, whatever the chisaron does, that dictates that these may peros are not treated like the original pri and therefore are downgraded to a shahakal. But Rashi doesn't tell us what is it about Zeya Ba'alma. What is Zeya Ba'alma such that it dictates that the may peros are not like the original pri? So again, while Rashi tells us the effect of Zeya Ba'alma, he doesn't tell us what is Zeya Ba'alma all about? What is the nature of this chisaron to then be able to understand that nature better, to then understand why it applies in certain cases and not in others? Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Shua Poter, yeah.
When he
says,
okay,
yeah.
So you see that the point of why is it losing the chashivut is because I don't have this, like, the pri is what my result from planting this is meant to, like, what I want.
Is it what the intended purpose is?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that in just... Okay,
because the...
What do you say? Okay, we're going to have to get back to all that. We're gonna get back to all of this, 100%. But just based on a Rashi of Zeya Ba'alma alone... Right, it's not really clear in terms of how he understands the nature of this chisaron. He just really just tells us the result. The totsah of Zeya Ba'alma is that the May Peros are not considered the original pri. We're now asking why? Why is it? Right? What is the nature of Zeya Ba'alma such that it dictates that the liquids are not considered the original pri? So we're going to now, over the next, you know, today's shir and tomorrow's shir, we're going to develop two different mahalchim in the Rishonah in terms of what exactly is the nature of Zeya Ba'alma. Although today we're only going to have the chance to start developing the Rishonim within the first Mahalach, I want to present both of them quickly because you can't really understand one and understand why certain Rishonim align with approach number one if you don't understand what the contrast, what the other option is. So just quickly, you know, we'll just, you know, say over both approaches and then we're going to get back to understanding, you know, the first approach more in depth and then we'll get to the second approach tomorrow. So the first approach, we'll call it the approach of Shinoi, which says that the nature of the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma is that what Zeya Ba'alma means is that the mipiros, or the juices, whatever they are, have undergone a shinoi. And because of this shinoi, because of when the pri was converted into the mepiros, that process of conversion from the pri to the mepiros is considered a significant shinoi, and that shinoi dictates that the new mepiros can no longer be viewed as the original pri, because the mepiros are in a new form, on a different surah than the original pri. So because of that factor of shinoi, that dictates that these mepiros can no longer retain the original bracha of the original pri, because the factor of shinoi dictates that this is a new entity, with therefore a new bracha, which loses the old bracha of the original pre. So again, according to approach number one, is that the nature of Zeya Ba'alma is that the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma is a chisaron of shinoi. That since these juices underwent the shinoi, that's why they lost their bracha. That's approach number one. Approach number two is that it has nothing to do with shinoi, nothing to do with the change. According to approach number two, it's the lack of chashivas of the juice. So again, according to approach number two, it's not about the change that was experienced in the conversion from the pre to the meperos. It's rather, according to approach number two, it's the enochashiv approach. It's the idea is that the juice component of a pre is considered insignificant. According to the second approach, the significant part of a pre is the flesh of the pre, right? The solid part of the pre, while the juice component of the pre is considered an insignificant component of the pre, and that insignificant component of the pre doesn't get the bracha of the original bracha of Bori Priyayitz. Again, so according to approach number one, it's all about the shinoi, right? The shinoi which is experienced from the conversion from the pre to the meperos. According to approach number two, it has nothing to do with the shinoi. It all has to do with the fact that that the juice is an eno chashiv component of the pre. And focus on like Zeya Ba'alma. Right? Like the word Ba'alma sounds like it's trying to say, oh, it's insignificant. It's Zeya Ba'alma. All it is Zeya. All it is like no sweat. It's just liquid. That's approach number two, trying to say, yeah, because the juice component of the pre is insignificant. So again, approach number one, it's all about the shinoi. Approach number two, it's all about the juice being considered insignificant. Okay. So now let's go and develop this today, approach number one, right, in the Rishon. Right, so again, according to approach number one, the whole focus of Zeya Ba'alma is on the shinoi that took place when the pre was converted into meperos. And before we get to the Gemaros and the Rishonim, which seem to, align with this first approach, let's just ask a question that's raised by Achronim. A number of Achronim ask on this approach and say, wait a second, how can you apply shinoi to meperos? If you think about it, was there any change in the meperos themselves between when they were in the pre and when they were not in the pre? In both stages, the meperos themselves, they were always liquid. The meperos were in the liquid form when they were inside the pre, and now they're in the liquid form when they're outside of the pre. So how can you apply, as a number of achronim, how can you apply the factor of shinu? I mean, bishlam atzai kimcha techiti. Right? So there was a kernel, and now you change that kernel into flour. You're changing the form. But here, say a number of achronim, wait a second, if you're focused on the meperos were a liquid when they were inside the pre, and they're a liquid now when they're outside the pre. So why does the factor of shinoi apply to meperos? Yeah, Michal.
Can you say the liquid is pop out to the actual food?
Okay, good. Explain a little better.
I mean, you're not drinking the apple juice. You want to eat the apple, and the liquid is just there to enhance the taste.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So what I... Okay, good. I don't know if you want to answer that. Okay, so what I think you're both trying to get at is that this question assumes that the focus of the shinoi is from the perspective of what? The meperos. Right, the question assumes that the focus of shinoi is on the meperos, and therefore the question is asking, wait a second, from the perspective of the meperos, there's no difference. It was a liquid before, and now it's a liquid afterwards. Right, but I think what Michal, and presumably what Avram was saying, was thinking as well, is that no, the focus here is not from the perspective of the meperos. The focus is rather from the perspective of the pre. Right? And from the perspective of the pre, originally, the meperos were, to use your language, were just a tuffel to the pre. I mean, the meperos originally were just a component of the pre itself. So originally, from the perspective of the pre, the meperos were just a tuffel component of the pre, but now they're a completely independent entity. So from the perspective of the original pre, yeah, there was a major change from originally the meperos were tuffel to the pre, and now they're independent from the pre. And the reason why it makes sense to focus from the perspective of the pre is because what are we trying to figure out? What bracha are we trying to figure out about whether the bracha is going to carry over to the meperos? What bracha are we talking about? Exactly, Bori Pri Ha'etz. We're trying to figure out, does the juice still retain the original bracha of the pre of Bori Pri Ha'etz? So since we're focused on Bori Pri Ha'etz and why it loses that, you're trying to figure out, yeah, because the shinoi, from the perspective of the pre. Originally, yeah, it was part of the pre, and now it's independent from the pre, and therefore it does not retain the shame pre to have the bracha of Bori Pri Ha'etz. So that's just important to note, that within this first mahalath, that it's that the focus is on shinoi, the shinoi from the perspective of the pre, not from the perspective of the meperos, because from the perspective of the meperos there is no shinoi, but from the perspective of the pre, there is. Yeah.
Sorry, Nehemiah, but can you just explain that the fruit now is not a fruit anymore, now that that's the liquid?
One more time?
Could you just explain that this fruit isn't a fruit anymore now that it lacks liquid?
But we're going to see. Let's say you take an apple. And you squeeze the apple for its juice.
And it's just like nothing.
No, because no, it's still... meaning, it doesn't lose... Meaning, no, it doesn't lose...
If you're talking about the fruit, then shouldn't that be our focus? Is the fruit still...
No, meaning we're trying... Meaning the shinoi is from the perspective of the fruit. But we're trying... Meaning, when you view it from the perspective of the fruit, and trying to figure out from the perspective of the fruit, you know, where was the meperos? And where is it now? Basically saying originally the meperos were tuffel components to the fruit, and therefore it the meperos, you know, have that same bracha. When you're eating them together, they have the same bracha. But now that it's independent, so it can no longer have the bracha of the fruit because the meperos are now separate. So we're saying it's the shinoi, it's from the perspective of the pre, but how we view the meperos. So originally the meperos were part of the pre, and now they're independent, and therefore they lose the bracha of the pre, they lose the bori pri ha'etz. So now we're going to see, trying to garner, bring some evidence for this approach number one, that the chisaron of meperos relates to the factor of shinoi. So first we're going to bring two gemaros, which don't explicitly say that the issue of Zeya Ba'alma is the chisaron of shinoi, but both of these gemaras are going to imply that shinoi is a chisaron when it comes to meperos. Okay, so again, the first two, makoros for this approach number one are two gemaros, but they're not explicit, like we're going to see, as explicit as Rishonim are. These two gemaras, though, again, they're not explicit because they don't explicitly identify that, oh, the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma is shinoi, but they're going to imply that shinoi is a potential chisaron when it comes to meperos. So the first gemara that implies this is the gemara that we just read, on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, in the context of shemen. Right? When the gemara, discussing shemen zayis, basically points out that they're afagav de ishtini. Basically says that shemen underwent ishinoi, but why doesn't that shinoi result in its different bracha? Why when it comes to, right, Yoni, why is it when it comes to shemen, why doesn't the shinoi result in a new bracha? Exactly, because ishtani luluya. Because the shinoi was a positive shinoi. Implication being that if that shinoi was not a positive shinoi, like in the context of kimcha dechiti, so then what happens? Exactly, it goes down. Right? So it's clear from the Gemara, that this factor of ishtani, the factor of shinoi which applies to shemen zayis, implication being that it would apply to all meperos, right? All meperos, which underwent the shinoi, but Shemen Zayas is different because it gets around the issue of shinoi because of Ishni Iluya, which we'll get back to. Implication being that other meperos and other items such as kimcha dechiti, which underwent a shinoi, will lose their bracha. So it's clear from the Gemara in Lamed Vav and Aleph that meperos would be subject to shinoi. To the issue of shinoi, it's not explicit that this issue of shinoi is exactly what Zeya Ba'alma is, so we don't know that this Gemara is identifying Zeya Ba'alma as a chisaron of shinoi, but we do know that from the Gemara in Lamed Vav and Aleph, in the context of Shemen, that the Gemara is saying that this factor of shinoi is an issue by Meperos. We just don't know explicitly from the Gemara that that's the identification of Zeya Ba'alma, but we do know from this Gemara that the factor of shinoi is an issue by Meperos, and Shemen is the exception because of the factor of Ishni Luya. So again, that's one Gemara, which implies that Meperos have this issue within the first approach of shinoi.
And what bracha do we say on Shemen?
Shemen retains its hayetz. Because Ishni Luya, because it's a positive shinoi.
Can you also make beer out of...
We'll get to beer. I mean, beer comes out of barley. That's gonna be along the sugya is also gonna be what's the status of sheikhar coming out of that's the juice of grain. We're gonna discuss that in this context as well. Oh, so again, the first gemara, which implies along the lines of approach number one, is the gemara lamed vav in the context of shemen. But then, if everyone goes back to lamed ches lamed aleph. There's an important Gemara in regards to Trima, which follows the Gemara's discussion of Meperos, which, again, seems to imply that the issue by Meperos is an issue of Shin. Let's just see the Gemara by Trima. What do we have here? Yedidja, would you mind reading? Chasam and Aleph starts with Amar Le'ahu Mirabanan
L'Rava. Yeah. Amar Le'ahu Mirabanan L'Rava. Trima
Mahu.
What's the
din by Trima? Right, so Trima is, it's not going to be clear yet to Rava initially, but we know that Trima from the end of the Gemara, Trima is basically partially processed fruit.
Yeah.
Right? So not very important. Not the juice coming out of fruit, but when you process the fruit itself, and we're going to see to what extent, according to many Rishonim, it's a partially processed, so it's not completely liquefied, but it's partially.
I didn't even understand what the question was.
Exactly.
The answer of being a kamei the rava, amalei the shumshmi kamart or the court tummy kamart or the port sini kamart. So what he asked the guy that's asking the question. What are you asking about?
Exactly. What particular type of processed fruit?
Yeah.
And the rava once Ravina. Right, was clarifying the question. Rav was like, "Oh, now I understand what you're talking. Now I understand what the question is."
Adahachi, ask your Rav Daite.
So he understood what was going on. That's all about. The question is about when you partially process a fruit. So what basically does it retain its original haetz?
Amalei chashuta, v'adai ka'amar, v'adarkam, v'adakarta nilsa. Hodam
Rasi. I'm sure you're talking about chashuta, which is a particular case. And as we mentioned, you remind me of the member of Ravasi.
Hi, Tamri Shal Truma, Mutuva Sofaben, Truma, Vasa Sofaben, Shaykha.
Exactly, right? The background is that when it comes to peros of truma, there is an isser being ma'abe truma. Right? You're not allowed to destroy truma. So if you have a fruit, which is truma, so the question is, are you allowed to now process that into truma? So as we'll see, this, the nafkamina of whether you're allowed to turn the fruit into truma will be an indication about whether you've basically been ma'abe the shem pri. Have you basically destroyed... If you remove the Shem Pri and turn it into a new entity, or is the Shem Pri still existing? So Rav Asi clearly is saying that you're allowed to turn into Truma, so what does that tell us? That it still retains its Shem Pri. Exactly. But Sheikhar, but you can't turn into completely liquid into Sheikhar. So now the Gemara is going to say, oh, once we know that Le'inyan Truma, that it didn't lose its Shem Pri, the same thing is going to carry over. So Vilchasa. Vilchasa
Tami of Dinu Truma, Magarkin Lai Breprates. By the time of milsi, you can't make it in the car. It still has like the same thing as before.
Exactly. Right. Once we see that turning a pre into trima is not a problem by truma, that shows that it retains its shame pre. It hasn't undergone a shinoi. So too, ayochos brachos, we say, so it retains its ha'etz because b'milsayu kaimi k'dmei kar. It hasn't undergone a shinoi. So remember, just in the context of the Gemara, right? This is the Gemara, right? Basically, is following the Meperis. Again, this is not explicit, but the implication is that the contrast between the bracha on Meperos, which is Shehakol, because it's Eba'ama, and the bracha on Trima, which remains Ha'etz, because it hasn't undergone a Shinoi, if you put these Gemaras side by side, the implication is that the reason why Trima doesn't lose its bracha is because it hasn't undergone a Shinoi. As the Gemara says, Bimulsayu Kaimi Kidmeikara, it hasn't undergone a Shinoi. I would say the implication is, but the reason why Meperos are different, the reason why Meperos lose the Ayat, is because it has undergone a Shinoi. And a number of Rishonim are going to learn the Gemara like this. So the second Gemara, right, which implies that the issue of Shinoi is what knocks down, what knocks down the bracha of Meperos from Ha'itz to Shehakol, or the first Gemara which implied this was the Gemara Lamed Vav in the context of Shemin, implying that if not for the fact of Ishni Luya, right, Meperos would lose its bracha because of the factor of Shinoi. So if you look at the Gemara of Trima back to back to Meperos, the implication is that Trima doesn't lose its bracha because it hasn't undergone a Shinoi. But the Mashmos is that what? Is that Meperos, though, they lose their bracha, Zeya Ba'alma, because why there is a Shinoi there? So again, while not explicit, because the Gemara never says that the Pshat in Zeya Ba'alma is Shinoi, right, but the back-to-back, the contrast seems to imply that the Chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma is that in contrast to Trima, which hasn't undergone a Shinoi, Meperos has undergone a Shinoi, and that's the reason for Meperos only having a Shehakol. So again, in line with approach number one, that the Chisaron in hand is a Chisaron of Shinoi, you have the Gemara in Lamed Vav by Shemin, Ishtini, which it says explicitly, and in the Gemara in Lamed Ches by Trima, which implies by contrast that Trima doesn't have a Shinoi, but Meperos does undergo Shinoi, and therefore it loses its bracha. Those are the implicit Gemaras, which seem to imply approach number one, the Chisaron is Shinoi. Now we're going to analyze a number of Rishonim, who also seem to explicitly adopt this first approach, which is that the Chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma is all about Shinoi. So the first Rishon we're going to see is the Ra'ah. So everyone can take out the photocopy of the Ra'ah. It's a long piece. I just have it numbered. We're going to analyze four different parts of the Ra'ah. We're going to suggest, if you look at all these different aspects of the Ra'ah, the different comments of the Ra'ah regarding the different aspects of the Suga, the entire Ra'ah seems to be l'shitaso, that the Chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma is all about this factor of Shinoi. You see the numbers, starting with number one, you'll see why we're going to skip the first part. You see the circle around the number one? Binyamin, do you see it? It's the Siva Hachi Amrinan.
Yeah.
Do you mind starting there? Because we're starting out, this is where the Ra'ah speaks about Zeya Ba'alma and defines what it is. So again, whenever you're trying to figure out, what's a particular, Rishon's perspective on the Sugya, see how they explain the line at hand. What's the Yesod of Zeya Ba'alma? So again, this is the Ra'ah on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Dibur Ma'aschav Amar Mar Baravashi.
Vahachi Amrinan B'Gemara, Dehad Amar Mar Baravashi, Asik Rav Yeshua, Amar Mei Peros, Dehad Amar Peros, Shal Truma, Dimashkin, Ayotze Mehem, Enon Kabosan, Dekosh Enon Kupo Kayam, Enon Klon.
So what's his description? So why is it that Mei Peros, according to Rav Yeshua, are not treated like the original? What's the key line? Dechol She'eno Gufo Kayam, Enon Klon. What does that mean? Kol She'eno Gufo Kayam?
That some thing is not there anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. We're saying that the pre is no longer there. We're basically saying the Meperos are no longer in the original state of the pre. It's now in a new state of Meperos. Again, that sounds like it's talking about Shinoi, right? The factor which dictates that Meperos loses the original Borei Pri Ha'etz and is converted into a Shehakol because still Eino Gufo Kayim, because the original Pri is no longer intact. It's the Meperos are in a new form of Mashke, which is distinct from the original form of the Pri as it was Kayim. Very clear that the factor, according to the Ra, which explains the downgrade to Shahakal, is the Shinoi from Gufo Kayim, from the original state of being a pre, to this new state of being being a liquid. Do you have your hand up?
No.
Okay. So I would say, like, the Ra, right over here, clearly adopts this approach that the factor, the Chisaron at hand, is Shinoi. And now we're going to see that this idea, that this approach of the Ra'ah, that the Chisaron hand is all Shinoi, is going to explain, I would say, all the other comments of the Ra'ah, as you'll see in just a moment. So continuing on, Binyamin. So you see, it's jumping a little bit, number two, right?
Yeah.
In between section is basically saying that all Meperos, the Shinoi, will result in their losing their Bracha, except when there's a specific Riboy, like by Shemen, and Yayin, the specific Riboy, to say, oh, no, they retain their own bracha. But now, very important, now the Ra'ah is going to make a crucial comparison between Meperos and something else. Yeah. So what's this case? What's Mimachas Achilev? What? Exactly. You liquefy, you melt down the, right, what is chilev? Exactly. Is the forbidden fat, right? Right. Shuman is the kosher fats. Chilev are the forbidden fats. Actually, it's usher, you know, subject to karis. It's very chamor. Right. So, right, the Gemara in Chulin is discussing a case where you liquefy the chilev. Right. You don't eat it as a salad. You liquefy it and then you drink it. So says the Rav, the Gemara needs a reboy to tell you that not only is eating chilev in the solid form subject to the isser, but so too drinking chilev in a liquid form, that's also subject to the isser. So says the Ra'ah, if not for that drasha, you would assume that liquefied chilev would not have the same status as the original. Yeah.
The Ra'ah saying the reason that like oil, wine, don't make the drasha. What does he do with the? You don't make you. The reason you don't make shakel is because there's kasav.
Yes, I think he's going to say that's the basis of Ishni Aluya. The reason why we know that change is considered a positive change is because of the Gzeiras HaKasav. Because the Gzeiras HaKasav dictates that this is the purpose. Meaning the idea of the Gzeiras HaKasav is that you treat the liquid form like the original form. So depending on the context,
Correct, but this is true,
but I'm just saying, how do you know that, I mean, the Gemara takes for granted that Shemen is Ishtanei Luluya.
Yeah.
So I think what the way they're going to understand what are these Gzeiras HaKasav about, because, I mean, exactly, it teaches you that Yayin and Shemen are Ishtanei Luluya.
Isn't the first one on the above that had Kemach,
that's true. I mean, if there was if there was some Gzeiras HaKasav, which
I mean,
the Gemara is just assuming that Shemen is Ishtanei Luluya. There are other Gemaras who bring, you know, basically drushas for that. I mean, the Gemara is just assuming that Shemen is Ishtanei Luluya and Kimcha Dechiti is not. So then it explains what the implications of that chilek is. You're asking, oh, where did the psukim come in? So I'm saying that's the background. That's the background to determine that Shemen and wine are Ishtanei Luluya. Okay? Oh. But what the Ra'ah here is doing is making a very important equation. Right? The Ra'ah is saying that Meperos are the same thing as liquefied chilev.
How do you say that?
What?
How do you say that, though? Because it's not...
Because he's saying in both cases, he's saying just like Shemen and Yayin, which are Meperos. The only reason why they are treated like the original pre is because it's a Gzeiras HaKasav. He's saying that's the same way that liquefied chilev is only treated like the original chilev.
But the case is not the same. It's like, I'm not turning the apple into
okay,
liquid.
Awesome.
Separating the
okay, liquid. Good. Oh. So what Avram is pointing out is that there seems to be a very important conceptual distinction between liquefying chilev and Meperos, right? Liquefying chilev is you're taking the guf hadavar, you're taking the item itself, and just changing its form. Meperos, you're saying the juice that came out of the guf hadavar.
Yeah.
What do you say?
That's logically equivalent to the question we asked before.
What do you mean?
You just say the same thing. No, because when they're in the pair, it's a tough fella or whatever you also want to use.
True. Good, good, good. But just to point out, now you have to think about this in context. Exactly. But only from the perspective of Shinoi is the key. From the perspective of Shinoi that the Ra'ah is dealing with, yeah, there is no difference between these cases, because in both cases, there's a Shinoi. Whether you liquefy the Gufa Davar, or the juice comes out of the pri. In both cases, there's a shinui, exactly like Yonah's referencing, when you're from the perspective of the gufa dover, they're both shinuim. And therefore, the ra'ah, who's adopting the shinui approach, yeah, is going to assume that these two things are the same. Because in both cases, there's a shinui. But if you think about it from the perspective of the second approach, remember, the second approach said that the chisaron of zeya ba'alma is that the juice is an insignificant component of the pri. According to that approach, these cases are completely different. Because wait a second, maybe meperos are the insignificant component of the pri, but if you took the pri itself, which is obviously the flesh of the pri, which is the significant part of it, and you liquefy it, that's still the chashiv component of it. So again, this equation between meperos and liquefied gufa davar only makes sense within the Ra'ah's perspective, that the focus at hand is all Shinoi. Because from the perspective of Shinoi, yeah, they're both the Shinoi from the original solid to liquid. But if you think that Zeya Ba'alma is not about the Shinoi, but it's all about, yeah, if you think about the pre, there's a Chashiv component and an Eno Chashiv component. The flesh is Chashiv and the juice is Eno Chashiv. So then that the Chisar of Zeya Ba'alma only applies to the juice because it's insignificant. But if you were to, liquefy the pre itself, and we'll get back to the trima, that's what the trima case is, or in the case of liquefying the chelav, you can't say the chelav itself is the eno chashiv component because you're liquefying the gufa davar itself. So again, a big nafkamina between these two different approaches, are you going to equate the cases of meperos, where the liquid comes out of the gufa davar, or the case where you liquefy the gufa davar itself? Yeah. Because he's basically saying this is all part of the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Basically, he's saying this, all these cases are all one yisod, that when you have a shinoi from a solid to a liquid, minastam, you assume that that liquid does not retain the status of the solid unless you have a gzeiras akasav saying otherwise. No, that's where there's usher. Oh, right. Whether it's subject to the isser. The Gemara says the only reason why by swallowing liquefied chilev is usur and subject to kar is only because there's a gzeiras kasav. Says, oh, that tells you otherwise, the shinoi would dictate that as a different status. All right, so there in the context of isur, here in the context of bracha. So again, so the first comment of the ra'ah, which works well as shitaso, is the fact that he equates, again, liquefying the gufa davar with meperos. Again, which only makes sense if the perspective of the ra'ah, which is that the focus at hand is the shinoi, not on the meperos being an eno chashav component of the item. But just to point out that the ra'ah is not the only person who makes this equation between liquefied gufa davar and meperos. And it's a little complicated, but the Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Chaf Amid Beis, which I had you see, it's a little complicated, but the Gemara itself, Bepashas, seems to make this same equation. Anybody have the Gemara in Chulin? Anybody minds? Shall I do it quickly? But the Gemara in Chulin, you see the... Right, so just the background is the Gemara in Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph basically brought a number of joshos, right, to establish that cases of, right, of Chelev, Chametz, and there was another one, and what? And Avela, right? So case of Chametz, Chelev, and Avela. All those cases that I have it, but thank you. That, right? All those cases, there's a Xeris cost if it say that the liquefaction of those Gufei Davar are still have the same status as the original. Then the Gemara in Amud Beis is now brings up Meperos. See Bahad Tanya? Anyone have it? What do you mind? Kovi, right? Yeah, it's a Kovi. You see Bahad Tanya on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis? Is Bahad Tanya towards the top?
Bahad Tanya,
Right, so all these cases of Isurim, what's the case? Kulan. So all these is just like meperos, right? All these cases, the mashke, which comes out of the guf, is treated like the original. Then the Gemara says, Minalan, what's the raya for this? Oh, this is the key for us. The Gemara suggests what? What should be the makor that the equivalent of meperos should be treated like the pri itself for these dinim of tevel chadash, etc.? Ligmor mehanach. What does Rashi explain? What are hanach? What are the other? What are we suggesting? Exactly, nevela, chametz, and chelev, where the guf hadavar itself was liquefied. Then the Gemara ends up being mafrich. You know, this suggestion based on the difference between the Yisurim. But what's important is that the Pashas of the Gemara is saying that if not for that Pircha, May Peros are exactly the same as Gufei Davar, which are liquefied. And again, along the lines of the Ra, this equation only makes sense if you think that the potential Chisaron of May Peros is the issue of Shinoi. Because then you can say, oh, don't tell me there's an issue of shinoi here, because if you see by the liquefaction of the guf hadavar by chelev, chametz, and nevela, there you see that shinoi isn't the problem, so therefore those can be a raya to here. But if you thought that made peros have a separate chisaron, that just the liquid is the eno chashiv component of the items, then you couldn't bring a raya from the liquefaction of the guf hadavar itself, because by the guf, when you're liquefying the guf hadavar, you're taking the chashiv component of the item, and you're just changing its form. How can you carry that over as a raya to Neperos, where you're taking the Eno Chashiv component of it? So it's clear from this Gemara, and again, I had you see the Chacham Tzvi, who just spells out this analysis, that it's just clear from the Gemara's, it's clear from the Gemara's equation between the liquefaction of the Gufa Damvar with Neperos, that the right, that's all one and the same. Again, the Chacham Tzvi just makes that equation. He doesn't tie it to our lumdus. He's not talking about Zeh Ba'alma. But to tie it back to our lumdus, it's very clear that the chisaron at hand is all must be about shinoi, and therefore this equation makes a lot of sense. Okay, good. So again, so that's the, I would say, the second comment of the Ra'ah, which works well with Shitaso. First comment of the Ra'ah is when he just characterizes the chisaron of Meperos as in Gufo Kayim, clear that it's about Shinoi. Second comment was about his equation between Meperos and liquefying the Chelef, again, which only makes sense from the perspective of Shinoi. So now let's go down later in the piece where he's going to discuss Meperos in light of the case of Trima. Binyamin, would you mind see by the number three?
The Tamri about Dinhu Trima perish.
Right, so he quotes the Gemara by Trima, when you process it to a certain extent, but you're right, not fully, so then it retains its bracha because there's no shino.
Right,
only because it retained its original form is the key. Ha. But if what? But if you process the fruit itself to the extent that what it completely loses its surah, there's a shinui, then it loses the bracha. In bracha, right? In bracha, el shahakol b'sof lo klum. And what does he compare this to? So exactly like when the ra'ah equates, right, the liquefied chelev with meperos. So now, what the Ra'ah is saying, that similarly, meat peros are exactly the same as liquefied peros. When you, in the case of Trima, where you, in the case of Trima, where it's a full process, you know, when you process it to the extent that you completely liquefy it, so the Ra'ah says that's exactly the case of meat peros. Ra'ah says, there's no difference between the liquid coming out of a fruit and the case where you liquefied the fruit itself. Again, that equation between the liquefaction of the guf hadavar with the meperos coming out of the guf hadavar only makes sense from the perspective of shinoi, and it's clear from the lashonos of the ra'ah. He's talking about shinoi here, this whole discussion. So again, the ra'ah l'shitaso, to think that the chisaron of meperos is shinoi, therefore it's exactly the same as the fully processed trima, where you liquefy and you basically make a shinoi to the fruit itself. And again, this equation only makes sense ra'ah l'shitaso. If, however, the ra'ah adopted the second approach that is all about eino chashiv, then there'd be no comparison between liquefied fruit itself, because there you're liquefying the chashiv part of the fruit, with meperos, which are the eino chashiv components. So again, this is another comment of the ra'ah, which works out very well l'shitaso. Now going back to the beginning of the piece, and with this we'll conclude, is the comment of the Ra'ah explaining why it is that the Gemara picks the case of Dvash de Tamri. Binyamin, would you mind going back to number 4, you see?
Yeah. V'amar ma'ar barabashi, dvash de Tamri working on Shah, but my time is Eva Amaru. Perish. L'rabusa naka dvash. L'rabusa naka dvash de Tamri. Da filo hai de nishar apri adayin kayam.
That's right. So why is this a chiddush? Because even though when you squeezed out the honey, what's still kayam? The date. So here you have, right, you have the honey next to the date, which is kayim. So the pre is kayim next to the mei peros. And the chiddush is lo amrina.
Lo amrina da hide the parish mina da lahave can be also shall pre, the liberate bar peris.
So you're saying, what would be the halav mina? The halav mina is as long as the pre itself is kayim, maybe the mei peros, in this case, the devash coming out of it, would be considered still to be a component of the original pre. Kamash Milan, that even so, even this is considered to be independent. And then Kol Shekin, Mashka, Yotzim, and Apri, Vinisha, Apri, Nifsad. And classic case of Meperos that when you through taking out the juices, you completely ruin the original fruit, was sort of what Ari was referencing. Delo Chashiv Mashka, Yotzim, Meno Kimoso. That the liquid is not going to be considered to still be part of the fruit. But again, it's clear from the Ra'az Lashon, and it's all about whether you view the juice to be part of the original pre. It's all focused on shinui. Do you consider there to have been a shinui from the pre to the mashka? Or do you say no? And the havamina is that, oh, because the original gufa pre is still kayam, maybe in this case of dvash tamarim, there the meperos are still considered a chilek of the original pre, and therefore it retains the bracha. So the ra'az whole havamina, all about what, meaning maybe by dvash tamarim you'd have a havamina that the dvash would be still considered to be a chilek of the pri. The lashon is all focused on whether you consider the fruit, the juice, to be a chilek of the pri, which is all about shinoi. It's all a shitaso to the ra, that everything, the chisaron of meperos, is all about a shinoi. It's no longer part of the pri. It's this new entity which underwent a significant shinoi. But the havamina said, oh, because the gufa pri is still kayan, maybe in that case you don't consider a shinoi, you still consider it to be a chelik of the original pri. So all these comments of the ra'ah seem to work out very well with the ra'ah's adopting approach number 1 of shinoi. So tomorrow we'll pick up with other rishonim who seem to adopt this approach as well.